I'm going to be reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus. So this is Paul speaking. I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he may fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way unto him that is Christ, who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Blessed be the word of God to his people, and blessed be his servant Randy as he ministers to us today.
Thank you, Chris, for reading scripture for us. And I wanted to thank the worship team for leading us in that wonderful singing. I was particularly moved by singing the words, "I need thee every hour." And as I was, I'll explain a little bit why that was significant to sing that. As I was preparing the sermon this week, It almost feels like everything that I prepared, I need to just almost write a new sermon with all of the news this week. And it's hitting me hard this morning, aware that, especially in light of the recent events in Charlottesville, where there is just unbelievable racism taking place with a white supremacist march. Aware that even in some of our churches, historically, have not been the safest places. And then this theme of God bind us together, and this scripture of unity, and oneness. And as I was thinking about what is something this morning that we could do, Whitmer Heights, as we think about the recent events in Charlottesville, I think these words in 555 are just awesome. Like, in the midst of thinking, God, how in the world are we living in a place where white nationalism and supremacy is happening the way we saw it happening in that march? And just acknowledging, God, we need you more than ever. We need you. Most gracious Lord. And I just felt like I needed to start this sermon just by making it very clear what Scripture says. And as followers of Jesus, how we can remember this morning who Jesus is and who Jesus calls us to be. And so I would invite all of us this morning that we can take a stand together that white nationalism and supremacy is wrong. For those of us who are Christians, we must remember that Jesus spoke with the women of Samaria and healed the ear of the Roman centurion. Jesus calls us to love everyone. Jesus calls us to stand in solidarity with the least of these. I need thee every hour, God. We need thee. What is so beautiful about God and the salvation history story is that we serve a God that has experienced suffering and death. And I remember there was a chapel given at Eastern Mennonite Seminary by David Evans, who is an African-American professor of mission and history, church history. And he brings the perspective of the marginalized African-American community in his classes to the light. And one thing that he said in a chapel that I will never forget is how important Jesus, the crucified Jesus, is to the African-American community. Because the crucified Jesus represents to this marginalized community a God that knows what it is to suffer and die. And you can't just jump to the resurrection before naming the crucified Jesus. And that, for the African-American marginalized community, is a symbol of hope and solidarity with God that understands their suffering. And so I guess I just wanted to this morning, can we just take a little bit of silence to stand in solidarity with any community that's not white, basically, in America right now, that is experiencing just hatred and violence. And let's just name together as Christ's body our prayer for reconciliation and love. So let us just have some time of silence here. I need thee, oh, we need thee, oh, we need thee. Every hour, God, we need you. Be especially near to the communities right here in the United States who are feeling marginalized and any kind of oppression that they may be feeling from the recent events in Charlottesville. And God, we continue to pray that we may be your body that stands in solidarity and names the truth of who Jesus is and Jesus' love for the entire world. Amen. Well, we are in a sermon series that's coming to an end. Bind us together, Lord. We're going to have this Sunday and next Sunday, and next Sunday we're going to actually have communion together to celebrate that we serve a God that binds us together. And if you remember last Sunday, Eileen shared a little bit about the visual and the significance of all of the diversity within that visual. She invited us to think about what strand or what fabric do you feel like represents who you are in this community? And this prayer that in the midst of our diversity, in the midst of naming different groups who are marginalized, we would continue to ask God that God would bind us together into his kingdom, into his body. And so this text this morning is very appropriate with the theme of bind us together, a text that gives us a theological rationale for why the church is to be a church that is bound together, a church that is called to unity. We are told in this letter in Ephesians, make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I had to think about the process that we went through last year in the midst of discerning conference and denominational affiliation. And I have to say, I think that Whitmer Heights made a lot of efforts to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I think that was a place where we tried to embody those words. And we're still working at that together, to make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Until all of us come to the unity of faith and then the knowledge of the Son of God. And there's a word here that sticks out when you read this text in Ephesians. It's the word one. That word one is repeated over and over and over again. It forms the center of this letter, this poetic statement of the church's unity, this oneness of who God is, and then the oneness of God's body, the church. And this is really significant if you have grown up in the Jewish tradition and you grew up repeating the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Lord is one. And this was, if you were a child, this is what you repeated over and over and over again. The Shema, Israel, Adonai. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Why was the oneness of God so important to this Jewish community? Well, many of the other creation stories around and other Babylonian gods, there wasn't this understanding of oneness. There was many gods. And if you are following God's commands to love God, it's important that you're only serving this one God, Yahweh, and not other gods too. And so this was repeated over and over and over again into, as a young child, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And we know that as we have this Trinitarian theology, Father God, Son Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, yes, three distinct, but yet one, three in one. That's a mystery to wrestle with, but we believe one God still is Lord of all. And so we have this focus back on God, this one God, and then this call to be one body, one church. In the Greek, verse 7 begins with the word one. In English translation, it's not possible to maintain the parallel, and each one of us was given grace. It's one way to think of the parallel made by the Greek. And so, following on the heels of verses 4 to 6, verse 7 brings the notion of oneness back to our experience. Each one of us. Each of our own experiences as followers of Jesus, of God's grace in our own life. Each of our own experience in the body reflects our participation in the larger body, one body, oneness of God, oneness of body. Seen in this context in Ephesians, the unity to which the church is called can have really challenging implications for us today. How do we live this out in such a polarizing world? And if you think about each of those strands being a different kind of perspective or a different gifting or a different socioeconomic income or a certain person that comes from a completely different cultural context, maybe a different political party. How then are we trying to live that out in the midst of our diversity? In the first century, many Jews and Gentiles also had the same questions of asking, how do we live and worship the same God? How are they accepting this message of reconciliation of Jews and Gentiles that we read about in Galatians and Acts? God's gift of reconciliation and oneness means that those who were understood to be far off are now those who are equally gifted by God. The dividing walls might also be brought down. One of the specific emphases that this Sunday asked us to name was, why do we struggle to be many bodies in one body? And one of the things that they brought to light was that oftentimes church conflict and division is around the fact that we don't know how to talk about our bodies in healthy ways. And so they're kind of doing a play on words here a little bit, saying to be many bodies in one body, to have oneness of body, we need to be a church that can talk about our bodies in healthy ways. One way that we have historically failed to do this is that we haven't had a very good theology of the body. By not dialoguing openly and honestly about gender, sexuality, orientation, singleness, fidelity, boundaries, sexual abuse, when we don't talk about that stuff, the implicit theology says that we should clothe the human body in shame. Otherwise, why wouldn't we talk about it? Why wouldn't we want to talk about these important issues related to our body? The implicit theology says that there is shame. Body talk has largely been off the table. Or possibly worse, we bring these topics up in ways that do not build us up, as Ephesians calls us to be the body of Christ. Or when we do bring them up, they're not done in ways that we can talk in healthy ways and listen to one another, even in our disagreements. We wait to talk about a situation until it's either traumatic or we are in conflict. And so let's just be honest that it's challenging conversations around our body, but yet it's important. Talking about marriage can be problematic for single people. Fidelity and relationship boundaries are often taboo subjects, considered too uncomfortable to talk about. I even had to think about when we went through our Safe Church policy, and I was so glad that Whitmer Heights was behind the Safe Church policy, but one of the things that we heard about in the trainings was that there's going to be members in your congregations that won't want to talk about Safe Church issues because it goes into those messy places of boundaries and sexual abuse that just feel so uncomfortable. And yes, they are uncomfortable, but we have to find healthy, safe spaces to talk about bodies, especially ones who are very vulnerable. We, as the body of Christ, must find better ways to do this. That's one of my prayers for this congregation into the future. Not necessarily about getting into really difficult and challenging and very long debates. That's not necessarily what I'm talking about here. I know that we're probably never going to all agree on certain things, but to at least find safe spaces where we can acknowledge the importance of these topics. We are one body of adult believers who should be able to talk and listen to one another in open, healthy conversations. How do we have unity in our body here at Whitmer Heights? I was encouraged this morning by the storytelling with in our Sunday school class, when Chris shared his story. And one of the things that Chris talked about, sense of belonging, a sense of belonging in the church community. And Chris, I actually have in my notes here belonging to talk about. So you gave us a preview there. Thank you. Alan and Eleanor Kreider, Alan Kreider has now passed away. They've done many, many years of mission work in England and London in the Anabaptist Mission Network. They talk about three things: believing, behavior, and belonging. These are like the three markers of the Christian faith. A sense of belief and having right belief, and then a sense of behavior, of how we behave in the body of Christ, and then thirdly, how we belong in the body of Christ. And one of the things that they say in their book is that you cannot address belief, right belief, or right behavior without first having a place where you belong. And that, I think he is just dead on. We can't ask somebody to have a right belief about who God is, or to have a right behavior about how to live as a follower of Jesus, if you first can't give them a safe and place for them to know that they belong in this congregation. And I think this is directly connected to this call for unity in the body of Christ. One way that someone's going to know that they feel like they can belong in a church body is if they feel a sense of unity. Now, what I'm not saying is that there's a sense of uniformity. And what I mean by that is that everybody's the same. That's not the goal here, I don't think. But a sense of unity, in that in the midst of the differences and the diversity, there is still this sense of what binds us together. And is this a community wherever I'm at? Even in my most challenging questions, when I wake up and I don't even know how to pray to God or even to know if God exists, is this still a church that I can come to and feel like I belong? And that's my prayer, that we can be a congregation that's so grounded in Jesus being the center of our faith, that we are not threatened or scared if somebody comes to this congregation with absolutely no idea what they believe anymore or what their behavior should be, that they still sense that this is a place that I can belong. If we can do that as a congregation, where people feel like they belong in this community, the beliefs and the behavior will come. But we model that together as we are this safe place of belonging for one another first. And it's a place where we belong, where God is the God who grounds us. And that's why I love this text in Ephesians, that all the parallels to the body of Christ is where Jesus is the head of this church. That's the kind of body where we belong, where Jesus is the head of this church. So friends, I'm encouraged. I've loved doing this sermon series, God Bind Us Together, and I'm excited for next Sunday to celebrate communion together. This is a great community, and God is at work in this church. And I continue to pray that we are a community where Christ is the head and we are the body of Christ, even in the midst of our differences. And in a place where people belong. Let's pray. God, thank you for the way that you're at work in each of our lives. I thank you for each person in this congregation and those who are not here this morning. Each person here, regardless of wherever they're at on their journey, we know that they're an important part of this body. And God, this is a body where you are the head, Jesus. And we want to, in all of our different gifts and abilities, perspectives, and differences, we want to be a part of this body, God. So we ask for you to continue to ground us And may we continue, as these words in Ephesians says, make every effort to maintain unity in this body where we can all belong. In Jesus' name, amen.